Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Jesus, from the very beginning and onset of his ministry, is trying to help us understand is his work, his life is essentially one of liberation and social justice.
Justice doesn't need an adjective. Justice is justice.
The good news of Jesus is defined by equality, radical equality and inclusion.
In biblical justice, the principal concept is not human rights. It's divine righteousness.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Tell me what's the
word I word up. I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Theonomy. This is Wretched Radio. If you're not familiar with the term, it is most certainly not a new concept, but it is experiencing a rebirth of sorts, and you and I, dear Christian, would do well to engage with theonomy to understand what it is and why we should reject it. Did I just tip my hand? A fellow named Andrew T. Walker. Jimmy, that's ringing a bell.
I've heard of him.
Huh. I just put it together. He's going to be a fellow here at the ministry. Starting in the fall, Andrew T. Walker will be contributing to this here ministry as a very helpful voice as we consider how now does a Christian engage with a brave new world. I think we all share one commonality when it comes to trying to sort out how involved should I be in politics? What about the relationship between church and state? Here's for sure what we all agree on. Things are wonky. They ain't like they used to be. And suddenly we're having conversations about church-state relationships. And Andrew T. Walker, writing an article titled, American Culture is Broken. There we got that commonality. Is theonomy the answer? He writes, it's a muscular, confident, even brashly triumphalist. We gotta do something about this culture. Indeed, the question is, what? From Andrew. It is tired of Christianity's never-ending losses in the culture war. And that's why theonomy, or some of its related terms, you would call it perhaps Christian reconstruction, these days, Christian nationalism, there's a great deal of overlap with some distinctions in those three descriptors. But this is a movement that I think we all feel, don't we? We don't like what we're seeing. Never fun to watch the collapse of a civilization. And we want to do something. And that's what theonomy offers. It's a response. We're not gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna fake it. We're not gonna take it anymore. Jimmy, that could be a worship song. Kind of worked, if you don't mind me saying so. By the way, Friel, focus. Sorry, not gonna start now. Was just reading about Elevation Church. They do $103 million. I think it was $103 million in business, something like that. It's a massive amount of money. And guess what is the driver of that engine? You got it. Music. Their latest album, When Fire Meets Wind. Whatever that means. $108 million in tithes and offerings in 2023. They attract 17,000 actual human beings weekly on multiple campuses. Reported a 21% year-over-year increase in in-person church attendance and hundreds of thousands more from the U.S. and around the world tuning in online via the church website or social media. That's bad. That's bad. The internet is a blessing for people that can't get to church on a Sunday morning for whatever valid reason. But to have that many people tuning in because they like the show, but they never participate in the life of the church, that is very bad. This goes back to COVID. This is fascinating. It was Parkside Church in Ohio, because I'm not sure I can mention the name of Alistair Begg, but it was Alistair Begg who shut down their online church services because thousands and tens of thousands were tuning in, and he thought, no, they need to be going to church. Bingo. If Elevation Church is getting hundreds of thousands of people tuning in weekly to watch that thing they call church, that's not good for the local church, and that's not good for people. More details. They have 19 physical locations spread around North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, and Florida. And guess what? 2 billion streams. 2 billion streams of the ministry's music on all platforms in 2023. How many people went to their concerts? 179,887. Jimmy, do you have your calculator handy or just that abacus mind of yours? Let's just call it 180,000 people. What do you think ticket price is average? $50?
Probably.
Have you seen the prices of football tickets?
I have not, but I just recently saw the price of movie tickets.
Oh, how much is it?
Like $15 to $17.
That doesn't shock me a bit.
Crazy.
It's just bonkers to go to a football, like a college football game. Woo-wee, there's a lot of money going through that. So let's just say it's $40 a ticket.
Okay.
All right. 180,000 times 40 is about what? 6 million? 7 million?
7.2.
Yeah. All righty. Yeah. Music is important and it attracts a ton of people and it moves them to watch online church, which isn't church. Andrew T. Walker likes going to church. Yep, that was my segue to get back to a study on theonomy. What is this thing? He writes as to why it is so popular with people these days. It rightly criticizes the decadence, the perversion, and irrational norms of secularism and understands that under the guise of neutrality, secularism has become the functional god of this age. That is, it is a correct observation, but is it the right solution? That is the question. One of the arguments, and it is powerful, I don't think that it is logical, actually, but I do believe it's a powerful argument that theonomists would make. Is that what you want? Huh? You want that? Or do you want Christianity ruling? And we go, well, yeah, Christianity. Wait a second. Is that the only option? Back to Walker, the only way for cultural sanity to be restored is for Christians to truly grasp, this is understanding theonomy now, the lordship of Jesus Christ and assert his authority over every part of life, even government. Now, I understand that desire and sentiment, but I think that he's already doing that. It's just that we maybe don't like the way he's doing it. Government's a minister. We got a bad government. It's not like Jesus voted for the other guy and somehow bad guys slipped in. And by the way, speaking of bad guys slipping in, if Kamala Harris becomes the president, if you thought Joe Biden was bad, woo-wee, doggy. She was to the left of Bernie Sanders when it came to Senate records. This woman is aggressively pro-abortion. Millions more will die underneath her presidency. That was a little hard to say. Christian Reconstruction and theonomy, they are the similar names. So for this particular treatment, Andrew Walker is going to say Christian Reconstruction, even though it's kind of a broader understanding of Christian moralisms being imposed on government, theonomy wants to apply the civil law of the Mosaic Covenant to contemporary civil government. So Christian Reconstruction is, yeah, Christianity should have an influence. And I actually agree with that. The question, of course, is how? But Reconstruction, or theonomy rather, is a little bit more defined. The laws of Israel, were they not the best way a nation should be run? And we go, yeah, good, we agree, then let's have America have those same laws. Because if God wrote the laws of Moses, and he did, and if the laws for Israel were the best, then why don't we want that for our country? You can see the power in that argument. And that Christianity is better for people. God's ways are better for people. We all affirm that. But is it the role of the church to assert the authority of Jesus on government. I would say he already does. He's already sovereignly ruling over the Biden administration. Jimmy, is he still in the White House? Do we still, we got a sighting on him? I know there was some theories that maybe.
I think he was just on TV, I think.
Okay, God's sovereign over him. He's already exerting his sovereignty. We maybe just don't like it. I know I don't like it, but I can rest in that God is sovereignly ruling. He's using bad governments as a minister to accomplish his glorious purpose of growing his kingdom. That's his goal. And he uses governments. They're little, if you want to maybe grasp how sovereign he is, they're little toys to him. And so when an individual says, we need to assert the sovereignty of Jesus over every realm, my question is, isn't he already? He needs my help in controlling government? He needs my help in controlling the economy, the stock market, Hollywood? Oh, he's got it sovereignly under his control. The question, of course, still remains, what's my role? Andrew T. Walker will help us answer that as we continue studying theonomy on Wretched Radio.
Are you terrified of sharing the gospel? Do you feel unprepared to witness in this sin-sick culture? Well, just know that you're not alone. Which is why we're pointing you to Terrified 2, a powerful DVD resource that equips you with the tools that Jesus himself used to fulfill the Great Commission. It's packed with engaging teaching and real-life examples that will teach you how to humbly help others understand their need for a Savior, proclaim the gospel of forgiveness through Christ, and to call people to repentance and faith. We'll give you answers to tough questions and common objections as well. Terrified 2 really does take the fear out of evangelism by showing you the biblical model for witnessing. It's the same approach used by Charles Spurgeon and D.L. Moody, Ray Comfort, and others. Don't let your fear or terror hold you back anymore. Get Terrified 2 today along with the study guide at wretched.org. That's wretched.org, and gain the confidence you need to share the gospel with anyone, even complete strangers.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, I've been thinking, you and I, we're kind of like kindred spirits, aren't we? We both love digging into God's Word, unpacking meaty theological truths, and sharing the life-changing message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like we're on this adventure together, and I know what you're probably thinking, oh no, here it comes. But hear me out. We've got this radical goal of reaching millions all over the world. I'm talking about a global spiritual revolution. And you know we can't do it alone. So here's the deal. We're looking for gospel partners. I'm talking about fired up, sold out, ready to change the world partners. That's where you come in. Would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it could be your support that helps us reach that guy who's about to give up hope or the girl who thinks she's too far gone. Together, we could do something bigger than ourselves. You can get all of the details right now at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1611. The Authorized or King James translation of the Bible in the English language is published. 54 scholars worked for 4 years on the project. the King James Version became the Bible of choice in the English-speaking world for over 400 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Repeat after me, Rushdunian. Go ahead, just repeat that after me. This is Wretched Radio. What's a Rushdunian? It is a word named after one John Rushdoony, who is one of the central figures of theonomy, God, law. What is in the Bible? What was good for Israel? The moral precepts and laws of God, that's best not just for Israel. In the Old Covenant, it's best for every society. And we need to flex our Christian muscles and assert influence into the government, which should adopt Mosaic laws and apply them to our culture. That would be Rushdunian theonomy. Go ahead. I'll wait. Rushdunian theonomy desires all civil legal systems adhere to the Mosaic covenants, judicial laws specifically. There's another term, general equity theonomy. That's all persons and institutions are subject to God's law generally, but it's less specific. So you have variations of theonomy, just like you have variations of, well, pretty much everything when it comes to political categories. How many of these taxonomies are perfect? There isn't one. It's very difficult to slot every single theonomist exactly the same. But in general, you've got two forms, two manifestations of it. Mosaic law imposed and just generally the Bible imposed. Greg Bahnsen, by the way, wrote a book called Theonomy in Christian Ethics. He's another one of the leaders of the theonomic movement. And we would do well to understand what it is and hear out the arguments. Andrew T. Walker, a future fellow here at the ministry, he's an ethicist. He teaches ethics at Southern Seminary in Louisville. That's how you say it if you're visiting the South. Jimmy.
Yes?
There was a dear mom and her daughter that came to the taping of the Greg Gifford event and then visited us Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church.
Okay.
And the daughter's request was, would you please say M-I-N-N-E-S-O-T-A? Because she just wanted to hear Minnesota. Because I can't help it. It just slipped right into it. This is what I do right there. This is Andrew T. Walker helping us understand theonomy. Under a, well, typically, post-millennial account of history, the kingdom of Christ takes gradual dominion over the kingdoms of the world. Yep. He's going to do that. Jesus' disciples bring his lordship to bear over every sphere of life. Well, I would again say that Jesus' lordship is running every sphere. It already is. Now, I get it. Well, I understand. But to think that somehow Jesus is not sovereignly running everything, to me, is a weakness of the argument of the theonomists. That without our flexing our muscle, Jesus doesn't have sovereign strength over everything, and he does. Scripture measures all standards of righteousness. Rulers, therefore, should seek to apply not just the principles of natural law, but the particularities of Israel's civil law. That's theonomy. Andrew T. Walker explains why not so fast. Serious criticisms of the movement. This is Walker. Criticisms so severe that theonomy should be repudiated as an evangelical framework for understanding the mission of the church and the relationship between civil and sacred, eternal authority, and spiritual authority. That's a strong statement from a Southern Baptist. Maybe that sounds soft to you, but that's strong for a Southern Baptist. They tend to be pretty, we'll use the word gentle, if you will, meek. It's power that is under authority, that it isn't just all over the place. When he says it should be repudiated, that's strong. In sum, the error of theonomy is that its hermeneutic stretches beyond the Bible's understanding of its own authority. From this mistaken hermeneutic come serious distortions and drastic consequences for the church's role in fallen political orders. This is why hermeneutics should be studied by every church. I remember, Jimmy, I think you maybe even know what I'm going to say. You want to root out the problems in your church, have a shared hermeneutic.
Yes.
If you don't, using big, here's another one. I didn't think this would become the case, but it is a possibility. I don't think it's going to be massive. Historically, we've said that we can disagree and still be in fellowship in the context of the local church because it doesn't impact anything that is essential, eschatology. Simultaneously, we recognize just practically there are some issues, disagreements that make things difficult, like baptism. If you believe paedo versus believers, what you going to do with them kids? And it just becomes impractical. We might see some of that when it comes to eschatology, because the post-mill view is what they would call the hopeful view, the dispensational view. That's the depressing view. That's the we're going to lose view, and we just got to wait for Jesus to return, they say. And in the meantime, they would say, no, we're more triumphant. We are going to get a handle. We are going to be dominionists in that. We're going to flex Christian muscle to influence all of the realms of society. And eschatology drives a lot of that. Theonomy is a facile hermeneutic that channels an eschatology of triumph. Historically undesirable. So one of the powerful arguments of the theonomist is they love to use church history. I've seen that. I keep the stack here. I've got article after article on theonomy and Christian nationalism. Nearly a Bible verse to be seen. A lot of calling on the past, quoting John Calvin, Martin Luther, the Reformers, etc. That's where the argument has to lie, because they swam in those waters where church and state were mingled, where there was a Holy Roman Emperor, where the head of state was the head of church. That's just the air that they breathed. But is that biblical? So Andrew Walker writes, theonomy channels eschatology of triumph. It's undesirable because it instrumentalizes religion, blurs church-state relationships, and jeopardizes religious dissent. Ask the Baptists how they fared under theonomy. Walker, it misunderstands the relationship between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The laws laid down with Israel weren't meant to enforce and protect the exclusivity of that relationship. Israel thus played a singular role that other nations aren't called to replicate down to the level of their judicial laws. The Mosaic laws were for Israel, custom written for God's chosen people. Jimmy, can I use the word chosen? I know some folks. It's an overrealized eschatology with a static view of culture that will disappoint its supporters and make them grow even more strident in their resentment toward culture. Oof, that could be a danger. Medieval Europe, it wasn't strictly theonomic, writes Walker. The first thing to learn about strong unity between church and state is how undesirable it actually is. A nostalgia that looks with longing on Christendom, capital C Christendom. That's when Christendom was reigning Western Europe, church, state, mix and mingle. It erases the bloodiness that resulted from church and state working in tandem. A lot of wars between Roman Catholics and Baptists. Absent from history is a tradition of church-state unity that was good for the church's purity of religious dissent. It's interesting to me that theonomy is kind of a new push. Why wasn't this being pushed before? It got all weird after Obergefell. Why weren't we doing this in the 80s? Why don't we actually, if we want to see Jesus reigning sovereignly over every realm, why just inside of our borders? Shouldn't this be a global sort of effort? This is from Walker. As a Protestant, I shudder thinking about many of John Calvin and Martin Luther's attitudes toward the state's involvement in religion. Baptists did not fare well as religious minorities under the reign of church-state union. That's history. We can't forget that. Expecting leaders to mediate divine commands sounds nice where there is cultural homogeneity. In other words, we're all believing the same thing, but that's not the world we live in. The anomie rests on the assumption of religious minorities being made second-class citizens, and nowhere in the New Testament are the governing authorities tasked with expounding God's word as the source of judicial standards. Do I understand the appeal of theonomy, Christian Reconstructionism, and Christian nationalism? Yeah, we don't like what we're seeing, but how the church engages with the state cannot be mediated by feelings or a longing for as much as we do. Instead, it has to be determined by the Bible. And without at least one clear New Testament verse that suggests the church and the government should be mixed and mingled for the forwarding of a cultural Christianity, we just have to reject theonomy. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a display of fiscal mismanagement, the Department of Veterans Affairs is facing a $15 billion shortfall through 2025. It looks like the VA's budget has gone AWOL, leaving millions of veterans potentially high and dry. The VA claims they're delivering more care and more benefits to more veterans than ever before, which sounds great until you realize they're about to run out of money to do so. Representative Mike Boast, clearly not amused by the financial fumble, called it a strategic whiplash. One minute the VA's cutting 10,000 jobs, the next they're adding 22,000. It's like watching musical chairs, except when the music stops, veterans are the ones left without a seat. In airline news, Southwest is bidding farewell to its iconic sit anywhere you want policy. Apparently, according to the airline, 80% of customers prefer assigned seating, proving once and for all that people would rather fight over the armrest rather than ending up in the dreaded middle seat. Southwest CEO Bob Jordan called it a transformational change, which is corporate speak for we're finally going to catch up with what every other airline has been doing for decades. And the airline says they will also be adding red-eye flights. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives has unanimously voted to establish a task force investigating the recent assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. The vote was 416 with no one dissenting, proving that nothing brings politicians together like a near-death experience. The task force has until December 13th to present its findings. And lastly, in a brave move that will sure to unite the country, NBA coach Steve Kerr and star player Steph Curry have decided to endorse Kamala Harris for president. Hey, how about that? Neither was able to hold back their excitement. They couldn't wait for the plane to touch down at the Olympics and say, hey, I'm here to represent all Americans at the Olympics by wading into partisan politics. Curry said it was a great way to continue unifying the country. Apparently mistaking unifying for dividing, but hey, we can only hope his jump shot is more on target than his political acumen. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why are we here? And I know you've asked that question. Why are we here? Two words, handsome Jimmy Hicks. I think I'm a little off on my math. This is Wretched Radio. Why, oh why, Jimmy, did you put Ben Shapiro into my... What is this called where I push a button and it makes the video play?
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Don't you worry. Leave the driving to us. We are radio professionals. My computer, I guess that's what you'd call it.
Yeah, that too.
that complicated word, computer. Why did you put Ben Shapiro in here?
Now, I thought it was interesting. He appeared before Congress a couple of weeks ago, and I forgot to tell you that I put it in there, but he made some interesting comments.
Okay, you're loading a gun for me, aren't you? Now, see, I thought you maybe put it in here because it's like chum. Because anybody who goes up against Ben Shapiro, like a wood chipper, he just goes through him. This was a Swalwell.
Eric Swalwell from California.
Uh-huh. He brought him in, and it was about the Project 2025 business, apparently. Hmm. So you're saying you put this in because we affirm everything Ben said?
Well, you tell me.
So you're setting me up to be a Swalwell, is what you're doing. All righty then. If Jimmy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So we'll play it.
How about banning the abortion pill? That's part of Project 2025. Do you support that part?
I think that that's a state-by-state issue on a personal level.
Okay, disagree with that. Okay, great. What are we, 4 seconds into it? No, it's not a state. I mean, obviously, states are going to have different laws on the subject, but we have federal laws on moral issues that we have come to a consensus on in this country. For instance, you can't decide to have slaves in your state. You can't decide to murder or sexually assault somebody in your state. There are federal crimes. Why we don't want, as pro-lifers, and Ben Shapiro says he is, why don't we want a federal ban? Unless, of course, it's political expediency.
I'm a fully pro-life person, which means that I'm not in favor of the distribution of the abortion pill.
Banning same-sex marriage. What about that part?
I am in favor of traditional marriage between a man and a woman, and I'm perfectly fine with anyone having any sort of voluntary sexual arrangement they seek. That's a different thing from whether the government should attach benefits to that personal relationship.
Okay, Jimmy, this is just all a little sideways here. And okay, perfectly fine. If he by that he simply meant it shouldn't be a crime, that's one thing. But to say it's perfectly fine, not as Christians. We do want what is best for people. We do have a concern for people's eternal soul. And if they're living in sin, it is our responsibility to lovingly point it out. You're living in sin. We should be able to say that, can Ben?
But you think it's a sin to have same-sex marriage?
I mean, I'm confused. Are you asking me as a religious Jew what I think about biblically?
I'm just asking, is it a sin to be gay?
Is it a sin to be gay? I mean, how long do we have here? 2 minutes? I mean, if the basic idea is that sexual orientation is up for government regulation, I'm not in favor of the government regulating the private consenting sexual activity of adults. That is
okay. So he believes one thing, government should do another thing. Because if we believe that it is a sin, I'm not saying we should become theonomic. What I'm saying is we should want people to not be able to do something that is so bad for them.
Different thing, once again, from whether the government ought to engage in actual benefits for particular sexual arrangements that adults make.
But again, just you to me, is it a sin or not?
From a religious Jewish perspective, orientation is not a sin, but activity is.
Hold on. From a Christian, that isn't even correct Jewish. God judges the heart, even in the Old Testament. He searches a man. He knows our thoughts. This is not a New Testament concept. It's an Old Testament concept that how we think and even our orientation, even if not acted upon, if the orientation is sinful, then the orientation is, you know, sinful. And we want to help people understand that. Furthermore, I don't know what Ben is going to say because Jimmy set me up for something here. Don't we want people to have hope? Don't we want people to not be defined by sexual activity? Isn't there something more lofty and transcendent for a person other than carrying the moniker of what your sexual preference is? This was the issue that was going on. It was the Presbyterian Church was involved. Presbyterian Church America was involved in this. And I think now they've repudiated the idea that orientation is okay as long as you don't act on it. Resolve. What was the name of that conference that was happening that tried to be a little bit more inclusive for people who were gay? Do you remember it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I do. Hold on just a second, and I'll tell you exactly what the name is.
In the meantime, I'll get into hotter water with Ben Shapiro.
Also the same perspective of most major religions, so far as I'm aware.
Okay. And how about cutting Social Security? Do you support that part of 2025?
Jimmy, is it all politics after this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm done. All right, what was the name of that conference? Revive, Resolve, Refute, Rebel.
I believe it was Revive.
Revive?
I think so, yeah.
Well, Google it.
I'm trying to.
And it was held initially in a Presbyterian America church, and that it caused all kinds of kerfuffle. And I think overall, the Presbyterian Church America said, no, orientation is still something. We won't do that with any other sin. I've got a rapist orientation, but I don't act on it. Well, you still got to get rid of it, or you got to mortify it. You got to kill it. Why? Because it is sinful itself. I know acting on it and feeling it are two different things, but we are called to have mastery over every orientation in our life. I'm a murdering Christian. I don't do it, but that's my orientation. It just feels weird. Why do we make an exception for sexual attraction? You got it?
I got it.
What is it?
Revoice. Revive. I think Revive, is that what you said? I think that's a Hebrew Roots conference.
Oh, is that was also a song by Anointed. I think that's what they were called. They were good, actually. They hung out with Brian Duncan. It was two women and a guy. Wow, could they sing? I saw them years ago at the Big Voice tour. It was Crystal Lewis. She got a big voice. Brian Duncan, massive voice. And then I think they were called Anointed, and they had a song, Revive Us Again. Would you like me to do the entire song, Jimmy?
Please.
Jimmy ain't going to be happy because I ain't going to do it. The life issue, it is one that we must it is time that we assume the moral lead on the subject, because it's moving away from all political parties. It's not a winnable issue. That's not the point. We can't be more quiet and mum on the issue because there might be an election involved. We've got to speak out. Abortion is a sin. Marriage, it's a big deal because it's God's deal. Sexual orientation is still a big deal. And we need to continue speaking on those things. Read an interesting article from John Stone Street. It looks like he published this in Crosspoint, which is a combination between Crosswalk and Breakpoint Ministries, Chuck Colson's organization, talking about a New York Times short film dramatizes the struggles of abortion clinic workers and patients against the supposed scourge of pro-life laws and protesters. Have you heard it? It's just so hard to go to work every day. Those people are out there praying. And John Stone Street is on to them and what it is that they're doing as they go about the business of making pro-lifers the oppressors. You know how that works with critical theory. You're the oppressor. You are automatically the bad guy. Why are they resorting to that? It is because they have lost the scientific, the natural law argument, certainly the biblical argument. They have nothing in their holster. So what do they pull out to shoot at us? Critical theory. You're an oppressor. So here's from this short film from the New York Times called Contractions. These are staffers. Quote, your character gets attacked just going into the building to do your job. In other words, this one feels guilty. But do you hear the language? I'm feeling attacked. Quote from another. So many freedoms are being taken away every day. Uh-oh, pro-lifers are oppressors. I feel like I'm on the new Underground Railroad, said a patient. These change it. Said a patient who identifies as a woman of color. I just read a statistic about deli meat. Yes, I read statistics on deli meat. Apparently, there are some states where people are getting sick from it. And so they've reported how many people got sick. And then they did the percentage breakdown by skin color. What does that have to do with tainted turkey meat? These changes, it's just about control. They're taking our power from us. And then ironically, why do we have to keep proving that we are humans? Well, that's a great question, isn't it? What is the pro-choice movement doing? They're not engaging the argument. Instead, they are whipping out CRT. It's everywhere, isn't it? To make you the oppressor, to make you to stop! But we're not going to. This is Wretched Radio. Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth, where tough questions get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org, because look, winging it only works in bird watching.
I know now many wretched people are familiar with the Master's Academy International because you participated in our Bible distribution program to the Philippines. 10,000 John MacArthur Study Bibles were sent courtesy of you. How sweet is that? Heaven is just going to rock. You're going to be sitting at a table. What's your name? It'll be somebody with a Filipino name. Oh, Philippines. You know what? I remember a long time ago, there was a Bible campaign through wretched.org/Bible where we sent MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. You gave to that? I received a MacArthur Study Bible in the Philippines. No way! So if you're at the internet and you visit wretched.org/pastor, you're going to discover Master's Academy International trains pastors internationally, 19 different locations. Thousands of men, as we speak, are being trained to rightly divide the word of truth. You want to strengthen Christ Church internationally? Please visit wretched.org/pastor.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, hasn't Jimmy been a busy boy? This is Wretched Radio. You have more goodies in my computer, correct, Jimmy?
That's right, in your computer.
Why Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson?
Well, I thought that was interesting as well. Those are two very, very bright men, and we like bright men around here.
Don't be tricky with me. You are up to something no good, aren't you?
Am I?
You got me in hot water with people who love Ben Shapiro. Look, I enjoy Ben Shapiro, too. But I'm never going to listen to what he says about moral issues without having my discernment radar on high alert. He's an individual who does not know how to read the Bible. He's an individual who doesn't even understand his own system. He's an individual who doesn't have the mind of Christ. So I can enjoy his political stuff, his commentary, his responses to the president dropping out and Kamala Harris and that comedian did something funny. But to take my moral cues from Ben Shapiro, nor Jordan Peterson for that matter. He's fast. Look, you got to have something going on to fill up theaters when people pay like $75, $150 bucks to go see a man talk on a stage. The dude has some sort of magnetism that just makes you want to listen to him. And he is smart, but he too lacks the mind of Christ. Elon Musk, didn't he just do an interview where he talked about why he is so anti-woke? Because his 16-year-old son decided he wanted to be trans. I think that's when the 16-year-old also became a communist. So stuff going on there. But dad was like, okay. And he signed up because otherwise your child's going to commit suicide. And he's realized it's all a lie. And that those statistics that are just out of whole cloth lying. There are no statistics that verify that kids who are struggling with their gender kill themselves because their Christian parents want them to be living comfortably in the body that God designed for them. So that's why Elon Musk is motivated to be so anti-woke. Let's see what he and Jordan had to say.
I'm actually a big believer in the principles of Christianity. I think they're very good.
Okay. This is going to have echoes, I think, of Richard Dawkins. When Richard Dawkins was, hey, I love the idea, Christianity. If there's going to be a religion that has some influence, let it be Christianity. It reveals something. They do not understand what Christianity is. These currently are ears that can't hear and eyes that can't see. Jesus talked about this issue. It is repeated more than a worship chorus from Elevation Church. And that's a lot throughout the book of, no, not religion, not outside of the cup. I want your heart. I want your affections. I want your will. I want the totality of your life because I gave my life for thee. And we should respond and say, out of love, we want to live for thee. That's Christianity. It's not a moral system. Oh, it's got that, but that's not its point. The Bible reveals from the jump, God, why do we have this detail in Genesis? Just so you know, this answer is correct because I asked Ken Ham this. Why did God spend time with human beings in the garden, walking in the cool of the evening? Did he feel lonely? That the Son and the Holy Spirit were boring him, so he had to go find. No, he's relational. And we see his relationship with his people. We see his relationship with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We see it with Joseph. We see it with Moses. We see it with the nation of Israel, with King David. God is a relational God. That's what Christianity is about. And that is, I know it's become, cliche. It is about a relationship. The gospel itself is very judicial. By the way, I'm preaching on that subject this Sunday, alpharettabiblechurch.org. The gospel is all about forgiveness of sins, but that's not the end of the gospel. The end of the gospel is that forgiveness of sins and the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ ushers us into a relationship with God. That's what Christianity is. So when I hear somebody like Elon Musk or Richard Dawkins talking about, well, you know, I kind of dig kind of the principles and the values. It's a good system. Well, you don't understand the system at all.
I'm actually a big believer in the principles of Christianity. I think they're very good.
By the way, he doesn't know the principles of Christianity. He may a couple of them, but I bet he rejects a ton of them. How's about gender, sexuality, marriage, abortion? Furthermore, does he realize that the principles of Christianity are perfection? Be ye perfect, even as your Father. Principles, how to live, those are called laws. Those are demands based on God's character and his nature. So when somebody says, I kind of dig the precepts, I don't think that you, without believing and understanding that holistically, the man just doesn't understand Christianity. Wouldn't you love to spend 10 minutes with Elon Musk? Wouldn't you love to spend 10 minutes with Jordan Peterson, Tucker Carlson? Mm.
So in what sense then are you not religious?
What a great question. Wow, that was a really smart question. It was kind of a negative. So you like it. Why aren't you?
Well, so Dawkins just came out with it 3 weeks ago or thereabouts and announced that he was a cultural Christian,
let him off the hook.
Right? And so the question...
Right. I would say I'm probably a cultural Christian.
Okay.
So I was brought up as an Anglican and I was baptized.
Okay. But that doesn't get you into the kingdom. What gets you into the kingdom of God? It is not keeping the laws. And that is why I'm going to be preaching on this on Sunday. Every single reformer, every single early church father, they recognized in the parable of the soils that the reason that you had three of the soils that did not receive the seed of the word is because the soil had not been softened. It had not been prepared by the laws that reveal, whoa, I need a savior. It reveals my malady so that I can seek the cure. That's the purpose of the law. And that you get into the kingdom by being broken, by being poor in spirit, by coming to Jesus and saying, I'm totally bankrupt. I got nothing but bad. Would you have me? Would you take me? Would you let me into your kingdom? That's Christianity. And guess what the king says? Come on in. It's not a, well, as if the kingdom is some sort of castle. And in a couple of places where the soldiers haven't been keeping guard, there's like some holes under the wall and people can sneak in. You got to come through the gate. You got to come through the door. The Lord Jesus Christ, and he joyfully welcomes people who are broken in spirit. Russell Brand appears to be a guy who gets that. Never thought that I would say that sentence. But if you're ever been cheering for somebody who is like a genuine convert, Russell Brand just might be that guy. Listen, this was, I don't know, where did this interview come from, Jimmy? It was being interviewed by somebody. That's close enough. He was interviewed by somebody. Listen to this guy.
If you are a person of faith, then perhaps like me, you will have experienced that there is not really any choice in the matter. There was a series of both personal and public crises that I can talk about at more length and perhaps in a more appropriate forum. But together, they led to, indeed, Brian, the word awakening is perhaps an appropriate one. Beyond a kind of awakening in the sense that that is a movement from somnambulance or dreaming into a state of vivid clarity, there was also this accompanying familiarity that Christ, a figure that I'm so accustomed to that I could easily ignore him, was present and loving and available to me. And that the idea of faith is something that can be practiced in the literal moment. That I can move from my self-will, my self-centeredness and my greed as a sinner and a redeemed person, redeemed not by any merit of my own or any action of my own. But
dude's getting it. Dude's understanding. It's by grace alone.
And the sacrifice that he has made for me, that he would have made for me if it was me alone that had ever lived. I like that clause.
We don't know that clause is exactly accurate. I know I've heard it, but nevertheless.
But I am freed through this. Similarly, I'm but one of all of the people saved by Jesus Christ. And in this fraternity, this sorority, this family, I feel great relief. I don't want to be in charge of my life no more. I don't want to be my own personal Jesus. I don't want that responsibility. I recognize my fallibility and I recognize the need for Jesus Christ. And when I don't feel the presence of Jesus, I feel it's really, really frightened and afraid. And when I feel him, I feel at great peace and I feel unassailable and I feel that I can move. Do you know what verse I read? Did I mention the other day?
Okay, we get the point. That guy can talk. you put him and Ben Shapiro into a room, you're going to create a black hole. This is a man who appears, we sure do hope, who understands what Christianity is. It's not a cultural thing. It's not a pastiche. It's not a cloth for the outside of the cup. No, Christianity is about forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ so that, in order to, it's a henna clause, we might be in a right relationship with God himself. That is Christianity, and you don't get no better than that. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.